Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother,
good morning and welcome to the Early Morning Show.
Of you dying.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty well. It's going to be a scorcher today, I think.
Hey, what's the alternative?
Better. You're right on that
one. How was the holiday?
It was well, refreshing.
Yeah, man. And yeah, well, so I can't, well, you know, Saturday? Saturday I was a part of what is called Heal the Hood. And I was on the grill, and I prepared chicken for 240 people. It's more than a notion to be on a grill cooking barbecuing 240 pieces of chicken and almost 200 hot dogs. And that was just on Saturday, and then I had to do my own. I don't ever want to see a grill again in my life. But anyway. Good morning, and my guest is on the line, none other than State Senator Evan Gorky, one of my favorite politicians. I'm going to treat you right, man, because you're always right. I'm not going to refer to you as a politrickster.
Because... Well, you just gave me you started by giving me a promotion because I'm
you're still a rep.
I'm only in the state. Yeah, well. It's the best house. You know, there's this ongoing competition and feud between the Assembly and Senate always.
Right.
So yeah, no, I've gotta represent the Assembly appropriately.
Well, listen, man, you are always battling wherever you are, and that's a great thing, man. How's mom and dad?
They're doing great. They're doing great. They had a good weekend, restful. Looking forward to seeing them this week.
So we're gonna talk about politics, definitely. But man, I remember you bought this. You bought this. What used to seem it looks like an old hotel.
Feels like that sometimes. Feels like that sometimes.
And in Milwaukee, you said that house is how old?
It was built in 1894.
Calvin, can you imagine a house? And I referred to it as a hotel because it's not just a house. At one point in time, it must have been a house, right?
Yeah, it was built as a single family home. And then for probably 50 years, it was a rooming house, 10 different apartments. And, you know, we still get mail for unit number 6, unit number 7. And it's, yeah, interesting. The house could tell lots of stories.
And I remember when you first bought it, and I went by and I saw it, and I thought...
I'm laughing. I know.
This cat is out of his mind.
That's... Well, we should add some context, Earl. The house was empty and vacant for a couple of years. Bought it out of foreclosure, and just so that listeners understand, I suck at home repair. At the time, I don't even think I owned a hammer or a drill or anything. It was like, well, we're gonna do our best and see. And so little by little, room by room. And you asked me earlier this morning, how far am I in 12 years? And I gave you the honest answer of 40%. So this house is never going to be totally done. It'll be a lifelong project.
8 bedrooms.
Yeah. Yep.
How many baths?
2 full, 2 halves.
2 fulls, 2 halves. And I would take, they're all wooden floors, natural wood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, hardwood floors, tall ceilings. And, you know, this wasn't the plan, but what has happened because we have the extra space is our home becomes home base for everybody, right? So, okay, where are we meeting for Mother's Day or Easter or 4th of July? There is no questions asked. We got a nice big yard for the kids to play in too. So I love it because it has become kind of the heart, the home base for our family. And, you know, it's a really tight-knit family, and that's important that we have a space to gather in.
How many windows?
It's like 50-something. All original, all leaky. It's like a percussion set sometimes in a windstorm. Everything's rattling. And I'll tell you, Earl, I sometimes when I'm traveling for work, I can't sleep in the quiet anymore. I need the rattle and the creak and the, you know, I need the furnace to make a weird noise. That's now my comfort zone.
So it's a good thing you're a barrister, man. You know, because you're gonna need to be. Let me, furnace man, that can't be. I mean, the furnace has to be huge.
It's a newer furnace.
Oh, you got a newer furnace. You put it in?
Got a newer furnace? No. Right before the previous owner lost it
right.
Before closure. So that's a project I'm sure we'll have to take on in the future. Let me say, the furnace is small, but the house is cold. So yeah. if we do have to upgrade, we're going to have to address that.
So a basement from 1894,
mm-hmm.
damp, dark.
Yeah, dark ghosts, you know, like the old stones that they built it by hand. It is.
Hey, so let me ask you. So I was thinking that the furnace was like Home Alone when the first son, he walks down there, right? And I got to think the attic has to be kind of creepy too.
Oh yeah, for sure. When we have people come over, I had a plumber once come into the basement because there were ten units. Each unit had a gas stove and a radiator and a gas light. So that you go down in my basement and it is like 100 different pipes going in different directions. So the only person or company or the type of people I got to come over, I got to get the old school guys. You know, a 20-year-old walks into my house as a plumbing apprentice and they might as well turn around because they've never seen anything like it.
So when your wife saw this, she had to think. So you saw it first, right?
Yeah, I had seen it first, and I had the vision of what it could become, yeah. or what it still might become.
You have to envision it first, right?
Yeah. You know, my wife and I have very different paths, right? She grew up in the city of Milwaukee on the south side, and I think for much of her life saw a path to a more suburban community.
Right.
That's the type of community I grew up in, and I've always dreamt of a path away from that. And so, you know, we're happy here. It did take some convincing. You know, my wife will tell people the story that, you know, had we been married when we, you know, had it been a joint decision at the time, she would have ensured it didn't get made, you know.
So,
but I tell you, Earl, man, I just one last thing. I was touring some houses in the city that were way worse than mine. You know, we were looking at water and fire damage.
Right.
I wanted to take and reclaim a house in the city on the north side. That was important to me when I was deciding where to live and where to put down roots. I wanted to try to walk the walk of the kind of the what I represent and what I try to focus on and work.
Well, you didn't have any other choice. That's your dad. And,
and your mom.
And they're those kind of people. And so you didn't have any other choice in the matter. But you got this major brood. And so, so are you sure there's going to be enough room for you and family right now?
We could fill, we could keep going. Yeah, we could have it. I mean, there's a lot of space. And again, it has just turned it. We haven't really talked about it, but it's a really unique, cool neighborhood called the Historic Concordia. We live just near 27th and State, so kind of near West Side, near North Side. A lot of history, a lot of great people in the neighborhood. We really love it.
And the fact that people who may not know it, that area is under, it's changing. And so there are people, homeless people who live in your area.
Absolutely.
And people may wonder, you have to be out of your mind, but I always say to people, you're early in what's going to be taking place in that area. It's got a lot of character. Many of those houses are like yours. And at some point in time, people with tremendous wealth used to live there.
Right. Absolutely. That's the history. You know, the beer barons, the kind of big industrialists of Milwaukee's early days had big mansions over here, and you know, a lot of those are gone, and the neighborhood has changed a lot over the centuries. But what I like about it, it is really diverse. It's a neighborhood, though. We know each other. We talk to each other. We see each other. We're in each other's lives for better or worse, right? I like feeling attached to the world around us, and you know, there are challenges, but you know, really resilient neighborhood that gathers together around those challenges.
Well, it's a testament to you, who you are, man. Again, your family. We've got to go to a break, but when we come back, we're going to get into some politics.
Sounds good.
Yeah, you know, man. I all this time, and I knew when you were a rep, and I just assumed because of your activeness in state issues, not just on the rep level, but all of it, that you, you know, were a senator. But okay.
No. Don't do that to me.
We got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Mr. Evan Gorky. He is a state representative a guy who may have to have some tests run on him by the time he's done trying to redo that. That really, you know, it reminds me of the old horror movies, man. House, like,
oh yeah, was, oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, oh yeah, the basement for sure. Yeah. The basement for sure. What I like about this conversation, Earl, is you know I love talking about work and politics and policy, but people never get to know anything about us, and you know, we are generally almost normal people.
Yeah, all right. Gotta go to a break. We'll be right back. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm joined by Representative Evan Gorky. So, Representative Gorky, where to begin? So, Robin Voss, and you know, when you've been around a little while like I have, and you've seen Robin Voss in action as long as I have, and you've seen him at every opportunity he could do everything he could to hurt the city of Milwaukee for as long as he's been in his position of leadership, and you know the pain that our city is experiencing and going through economically, and then we have a new mayor and a new county executive. Both really, I know them both well, young men, great young men. And now all of a sudden, Robin Voss is willing to have a dialogue and a conversation that he wouldn't have a decade before. What's taking place, Representative Gorky? Why now?
Well, you know, I do give credit to the mayor and to the county executive for, you know, adopting a new strategy to deal with the legislature and Republican leaders. You told at the very beginning of your show, you told Calvin when he said it was going to be too hot for his liking, you said, what's the alternative? And so if you're one of those two young men, if you're Executive Crowley or Mayor Johnson, what's the alternative? Is, you know, you could ignore Madison, but you know, to do nothing would be quite painful. So, and I know that those two guys have gotten a lot of heat and opposition for engaging with the speaker and with legislative leaders in the Republican Party, but they have to. So look, I mean, I think it started, I can point to, for me, 2 years ago, Cavalier was then Common Council president and Crowley had just been elected and they showed up in Rhinelander. All right. So there was a hearing with the Joint Committee on Finance, a public hearing up in Rhinelander, and they took the time to drive up there. And, you know, they said their piece for a couple minutes to the committee, but they, you know, took that opportunity to kind of go into rural Republican territory and meet some of those people when the cameras weren't rolling and there weren't anybody listening. They just you got to develop a relationship, a trust. And, you know, I think that opened the door to begin the conversation. The other thing, Earl, is that we've gotten closer to this cliff, right? We know that January 1st of 2025, without any kind of intervention or change, the city will face massive, massive cuts and that will impact the entire region and the state of Wisconsin.
You know, and I want to be clear. I don't blame Cavalier, the mayor, or the county executive for attempting to heal whatever divide that has been there under then county executive Chris Abley and then Mayor Tom Barrett, because they've been trying to get a sales tax for many years that was clearly denied in Madison. And I never understood, unless there was something personal, why the legislature would not provide the city of Milwaukee an opportunity in Milwaukee County to raise a sales tax, which all over the nation, comparable cities like Milwaukee had been allowed to do that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, first of all, you're accurate. Basically, every other community the size of Milwaukee has some kind of local option taxation. In some communities, it's a big mix of different areas, but most common is the sales tax. And obviously there was personal issues between Republican leaders and Mayor Barrett, right? He ran against Walker twice. And so there was, you know, deep animosity there. I think there's a small group of Republicans that are okay with watching the city go down. I think there's another group of Republicans that kind of don't know what to do. They don't want that to happen, but they don't know what to do. And then there's the group that's been, you know, engaged with the mayor and the county exec trying to solve something. And I'm saying all of these things. I voted against the bill. I don't think it's a final product that I think we could improve it substantially, but I think it's undeniable that the fact that there is a bill to deliver this for the first time in my lifetime is progress.
I think it says a lot that as astute a politician as you are, you said no to the bill, understanding the impact of what will happen if the bill is shot down. I mean, right. There's something, you know, to be said about it, because many of us don't know what's in the bill and you guys do. And so there must be something pretty egregious that, having heard what you just said about 2025, January 2025, that even in the face of that, you could say no.
Well, I'm happy to get into the details of the proposal. And I think my position has always been wanting to get to yes, coming to the table with different proposals, counter proposals, but the goal being something's got to happen, because that cliff is real and it is painful, and neighborhoods like mine will feel it very severely. and it's avoidable. It just, we got to keep working to get to the best product possible.
All right, got to go to the break. 844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is State Representative Evan Goyke. You can join us. We'll be right back. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is State Representative Evan Goyke. You know, Evan, we were talking about before the break about what's in the bill. We've heard snippets of it. So what's in the bill? Some of the things in the bill that you could kind of not agree with.
Well, let me set the stage, I think, appropriately with a little bit of backdrop and context, because it's important, I think, before talking about some of the challenges with the bill. So employees of the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County are in their own pension system. They're the only two municipal or public governments in Wisconsin not part of the statewide system. And those two local pensions have really struggled, not because of mismanagement. There's lots of big global factors affecting pension funds. But the important context for this is that we would move new hires for the city and the county into the state's pension system, and the city and county would, in essence, get out of the pension game. And we would raise a sales tax, 2% with the city, 0.375 at the county, to pay off those pension costs. We have to put cash into the account every year to ensure people get the pension that they're owed. If we did not do that, we would be sued and we could be taken to court, and that would be pretty painful. If there's more money with the city sales tax, that additional revenue has to go to pay for police and fire and EMS. And that, as that revenue grows, so too does the number of police officers and firefighters until we hit a threshold in state law. I think that kind of framework I could certainly live with. The challenges that I mentioned earlier are that alongside the increased sales tax comes a change in how the city and county self-govern. So, for example, this state law would say that we could not use any of our taxation for diversity, equity, inclusion efforts. We could not use, it would take a two-thirds vote of the city council or the county board to increase spending in any program or add a new position. The police and fire commission and their powers and their makeup would be changed. The streetcar would in essence be frozen in its place. We couldn't use any tax levy dollars to expand its footprint. School resource officers and MPS, there's, you know, 6, 7, 8 different types of reports or audits. So what I don't like about that, one of the reasons why I voted no is that those are all unique to Milwaukee under this bill. So we're sending additional revenue to other communities around the state, but they have a different set of rules that they have to live by to receive that new money. Ours is substantially longer, right? Those rules of what we can and cannot do is different. And I don't like that. I don't like being treated different. And if it's good enough for the city of Waukesha or the city of Rhinelander to meet their rules, I think just apply those same rules to us and be over.
I will tell you this, man. I concur with you 100%. When you're talking about the fact that people should be able to govern, you know, we've elected people in the representative government for those people to be able to do our bidding. then why should that be interfered with by people who don't even live where we live? There's clearly something in that, Evan, that stinks to high heaven. And to Devin Lemieux's credit, you know, I don't know. I don't know the people who are in Madison, you know, who live in the different townships and places around this state. I don't know any of them, especially those in politics. And so I've always looked at it from the perspective that they've done many of them have done everything within their power under the Scott Walker regime and others to punish our city. And to see that there's somebody now, even not knowing the why fors or any of those reasons, why Devin Lemieux is a guy who is agreeing to challenge some of these things that aren't right, encourages me that there are others in this state who think that right is right and wrong is wrong, no matter whether it's blue or red.
Right. Well, let me tell you a little bit about when the state assembly debated this bill on the floor, a number of Republican representatives stood up to speak in favor of the provisions. And they spoke about the revenue that needs to be sent back to their rural communities. And they're right. This system we call shared revenue of how the state supports local government has not been modified for 20 years. And that hurts Milwaukee. That also hurts small rural communities as well. So nobody's, you know, we're not saying it doesn't need to be fixed, but none of them got up and said, it's important to me to say Milwaukee can't do diversity, equity, and inclusion with their property tax money. It's not what the bill was about, right? They were a yes because they're delivering revenue to the communities they need. When I talk to my Republican colleagues, no one, not one of them, has ever said, I would only vote for money for my community if it means you can't have a streetcar anymore. So why are these provisions in here that isolate Milwaukee? Now, I've been in office for 11 years. I'm not so naive anymore to believe that there would be absolutely no strings attached. Okay, so we can have a conversation about what we could live with. And for me, when I spoke on the assembly floor, it is relatively normal for when states enact a local option sales tax that they put some guardrails around that so the money can be used for its purpose and that there's some accountability and transparency to ensure that's happening. Okay, let's do that. If it's about our budget and what we're getting, you know, the money that we're receiving, how we're spending, fine. But these other things, how we run our police and fire, the streetcar, diversity, equity, they have nothing to do with the sales tax. They have nothing to do with how we budget. You know, that's just they're just political points being scored in a bill.
You know,
they have no business in it.
So I have heard the speaker, Robin Voss, say on conservative talk radio, we can't trust the people in Milwaukee to spend the money right. He said this publicly and felt as if, and he was so emboldened that he would say that publicly over the airwaves. And I became so incensed at that because it wasn't the first time I heard him say that, that I reached out to his people and tried to get him on the air to challenge the fact that he could make those kinds of statements arrogantly and not be challenged on it. And so he and many others believe across the state that Milwaukee is getting more money from the state than it should be getting, and they're being shortchanged everywhere else across the state. Can you clarify that for us, please, sir?
Yeah, that is so those sentiments, and I hope if I don't listen to conservative talk radio, yeah. But if he comes on your show, I will tune
in. He doesn't have the courage, but go ahead.
So yes, that sentiment, that resentment, that divisiveness is there, right? You can pick it up in the atmosphere of Wisconsin that politicians have exploited that for a long time, this kind of us versus them mentality. And it's not, you know, both sides, I think, can be guilty of it at times, but there is in Wisconsin a very anti-Milwaukee. There's an old saying in politics, millions for Milwaukee, pennies for Polk. Polk County is a northwest rural county. And that was a Democrat that said that way back when. You know, so the sentiment that the money all flows to Milwaukee is very real. It's very longstanding, and it's very inaccurate. It's wrong. You know, we generate the most wealth by far. And our entire region exists and is prosperous because the city of Milwaukee exists and generates that prosperity. And that's the kind of fight that we're having, Earl, right? That is that as we work on this proposal, that's the sentiment that we're, that's the water we're swimming upstream against, the current, you know?
You know, man, you were just last week, your microphone was shut off in the debate. I could never do your job, man. You know, it takes, you know, a person with the kind of character that you have. Let's talk a little bit about
that. Well, we're opening it up. You know, first I put ice in a glass, and then I and then I squeezed a little lime, and I put a little gin and a little tonic. That helps at night.
But the fact that you're, you know, on the floor, and you're having a debate and a conversation, and the guy doesn't want to hear anything you have to say because, you know, dialogue does not matter. Let's talk a little bit about how that makes you feel.
We struck a nerve. What the debate was in joint finance. You know, the Republicans for 50 years have chased this policy to overturn Roe versus Wade. And now that they've done it, they've got no idea what to do next. They are like completely torn in circles. I mean, I've been a part of a couple conversations with a couple Republicans, and they know they're just they don't have a clue what to do. So what we were arguing about was paid family and medical leave. You're going to force somebody to have a baby. The least you could do is literally the least you could do is to have some kind of state mechanism and policy that that she or the family could get paid time off to care for their newborn baby. And they weren't having it. And what the moment my mic was shut off was that I was quoting their candidate, Tim Michaels, from November, who endorsed the policy. He said he'd support it and get it done because, you know, I don't know if he really knew what he was agreeing to or not, but, you know, it pissed them off something special and they turned my microphone off, which I can't remember that ever happening before.
You know, the insanity with that way of thinking, Representative Gorky, is that the last time I checked, Republicans have babies too.
Yes, now, and families, and they have people that need the benefit. Let me say the last thing on this issue. I am grateful. I am thankful and grateful that Senator Howard Markline turned off my microphone. He thought he was reducing the volume of the debate, but he increased it. Right, because he actually thrust the argument for paid family leave front and center in a way that if had he not shut me up through muting my microphone, he wouldn't have had. The more they do that, that's what my response was. The more they do that kind of stuff, the more elections they're going to lose because it makes people pay attention. The point of that story is not about a speech. It is not about a microphone being turned off. It's about the fact that hundreds of thousands of working people in Wisconsin deserve paid time off when their relative gets sick or they have a baby.
So,
period. Full stop.
So when you, and this is moving back to the last discussion, when the county executive of Waukesha says that we're not receiving enough resources and we don't like the fact that you're trying to tell us what we can spend the money on. Last time I checked, the county executive of Waukesha and the people in Waukesha where this radio station is located, they're not Democrats, right?
No, and there were three assembly Republicans that voted against that local government funding shared revenue bill, probably following Paul Farrow's lead.
Yeah, and so, you know, listen, we've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. State Representative Evan Gorky is on the line, and I'm glad he's here. We'll be right back.
I never knew your love. But I know I'll never get to love land unless I wrap up in your arms. Got to take me with you. Please take me with you.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Texas is that same number. My guest is State Representative Gary Goyke. Evan Goyke.
It happens all the time.
That's a large shadow, man, you're under.
Well, I have won more elections than he ever did. I'm trying my best. I'm trying my best.
Look, man. Part of this, the Assembly Republicans approved this 15% increase in a state aid bump across most of the governments, except for Milwaukee. What was Milwaukee's percentage?
We will, under their proposal, we would receive 10% increase.
That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about, man. You know, that really is. Can you explain how they can come to that point?
No, not effectively. I don't get it.
Man,
I don't
come on,
get
man.
It.
I mean, come on.
And I think, Earl, the legislation creates a floor. No community, you know, Milwaukee 10%, no community other than Milwaukee less than 15%. But there are communities that are receiving a much, much, much larger percentage increase.
2,000, 3,000% increase.
Now, to be fair, the dollar amounts are different, right? What Milwaukee receives in aid, $221 million a year. Versus a small township, probably 100,000. But the point is, we're being singled out.
Yeah. Let's go to Marty from Milwaukee. Good morning, Marty. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning to your guest. Earl, I really appreciate you covering this, but I have to say, I am so underwhelmed and appalled by the class of journalism with regard to this issue of the pension system. Now, I only know Milwaukee's pension system. I do not know Milwaukee County. But what I see happening is that the state legislature is conflating Milwaukee County's problems with the city of Milwaukee's pension problems. And what a real good question I wish somebody would ask in the paper or at the state legislature is, why is there a discrepancy in the payout in the pension system in the city of Milwaukee? The aldermen get a 56% better pension than the garbage man, than the water worker, than the healthcare nurse, than the guy fixing the lights. Why does the city of Milwaukee's aldermen and officials and, excuse me, officers of the city get a better pension than the people? And nobody knows this.
Well,
it's a 56% better pension.
I'll honestly tell you, I did not know. And if that is the case, I will look into it. And you best believe I'm going to be making some noise about it, Marty. You want to respond to that?
Yeah.
Evan?
Well, I think it's, I hope it'd be great to have a guest on that is involved with the city pension, because I do agree with the caller sentiment in the lack of understanding, and it's hard. I mean, it's complicated. It's kind of nerdy and wonky, and I don't think newspapers, you know, they've got to rely on subscriptions and clicks, but somebody's got to tell the truth about what's going on. The only other comment that I'd have about the pension is, remember, at the city, some of the entities, you know, the largest entities that are the largest number of pensioners are part of collective bargaining units in their union that bargain for what that pension structure looks like, and have had that as a feature of what the pension looks like for a police officer, or a firefighter, or a general employee. I can't comment directly on the alderman garbage man comparison because I just don't know. But it'd be good to have somebody on to explain all those details.
Consider it done. I'm going to be looking into that this afternoon, Marty. Appreciate it. Thank you. You know, Evan, the other part of it is it was also Madison that took away the percentage of the pension that police and fire would have to pay or used to pay towards their pensions. They didn't do that for anybody else, just police and fire. And I think there's something to be said about the fact, look, nobody said that we don't support police and fire, but people make decisions to be policemen and firemen. And so it doesn't mean that then they should automatically get all these perks that other people don't. That's a decision that people make.
And what we bargained for those things for a long time as a city.
Right.
One feature, this was my very first session in office in 2013, the state legislature prohibited residency, right? That was always something, the city maybe would give an enhancement on a pension or a salary or healthcare benefit in exchange for retaining residency, because we wanted those, those are upper middle income earners. Right. We wanted them in our neighborhoods. And I don't know what the exact number is now, but I'm told when I talk to city leaders that, the number of sworn officers
gotta be 70%
falling.
Yeah. Well, it's falling. Yeah. And so they, and that was not their business, right? But they made it their business on the state level to cripple our city. And, listen, man, we got to have you on again. Time just flew. And man, you got to commit to spending a little more time with us.
Okay. I'll have some house updates. And, we can delve into some other stuff. Happy to be back on whenever.
Yeah, man, I will be reaching out to you. Thank you very much, man. Continue to work on the mausoleum. And
what it feels like, it's probably what it will be. But yeah, thank you for all you do. I'll be tuning in when you have Robin Voss on, and hopefully, my last words are, my final comment is I'm just going to continue to try to get to yes, because we do need a fix, and it's just got to be an appropriate one for us, and we'll keep working on it.
All right, keep up the good work, man. Kiss the baby.
Thanks,
tell
girl.
The wife I said hello, and tell the mom and dad hello. All right, gotta go.
I will.
We'll
Take
be
care,
back. Man. Been tuned. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back.
Take me with you, baby. Yeah. Got to take and be about the hand. Tell me, baby, I'm your lover, man.